Hello and welcome once again to the GFW Radio Podcast. This is Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief of Games for Windows, the official magazine. This is our official podcast, and it's officially December 6th. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
if your wife heard you not get the date right, you'd be in trouble. I know. I said it because I would be. You never know what day it is.
Well, at least it's not our anniversary.
I need to let this out right now, man.
I'm so freaking tired. We're all tired. This is going to be the most brain dead podcast ever, I think.
It might take some pointed reader letters to wake us up.
Yeah. Three of us have an excuse. Actually, I should say who's here today, or you should say who you are here today.
Okay.
Ryan Scott.
Sean Elliott, and I'm back from, I've been on some business trips playing Quake Wars, and prior to that, something else.
But, oh, I thought you couldn't talk about it.
Well, I can't go into details, but I can.
You could say you saw it.
I played it, and then, you know, I mean, I could talk generally about it. I'm sure they just don't want me to go into some, you know, prior to the story going to print. I'm tongue-tied and got my turds whisked.
You're tired, too.
Yeah, everyone's tired.
So Sean Malloy.
I'm Sean Malloy, and I'm also tired.
When did you go to bed, Sean Malloy?
3:30.
You were working. Like when did you go to bed, Sean Elliott?
I didn't even go to bed that late. I'm just like maybe 2 or something, but
that's late.
Big baby.
It's pretty late.
You can't.
It's 3:30.
You can't make up being tired. Well, you can make up being tired, but this is legit.
Yeah. So should we just sit here?
No, let's launch right into the fun
let's,
times.
All right, let's get into the good times. We're going to talk about, I had a quote to read first. That's right. That's where we're going to start. I'm going to start with this quote from a game developer, and then we're going to see if anyone out there can guess what game we're referring to. Okay, here we go. Quote, "I'm sorry that we have disappointed so many people on a certain project. Please realize we did what we felt was best with the cards that were dealt to us in the situation we were in. We have learned from the experience, and we won't make the same mistakes twice. The companies we dealt with were professional in every way, and we enjoyed working with them while we did, and appreciated the opportunities they presented to us. You won't hear anything about our next game until it's almost on the shelves."
You lying, lying liar! So
that's just a sad quote.
Who's that quote from?
Someone felt real bad.
What's it about?
Very sincere.
They felt real, real bad about their game.
What are they weeping over?
Should we just say? I thought we'd wait till the end of the podcast, you know, to draw it out in, like, suspense.
That's fine. That's good.
People will go like, oh, what is it?
Right.
So now,
this whole time.
Now we have to remember.
Oh, we'll forget.
We'll remember.
You remember?
Yeah. Okay. We'll do it next month.
And if you don't care about the rest of this, you can just hit your fast forward button.
Yeah. Find out who said it. But it is significant. That's the fun part, I guess, because you're never going to guess, and it could have a very significant impact on a game that you were hoping to be playing sometime soon.
And your life in general.
This is all true.
What
is it?
What could it be?
Hope we didn't distract you all from enjoying the rest of the podcast. What do you think about
this? Yeah, that's true. They're going to be all bugged now. They're going to be only half listening.
Which is great
since we don't have shit to say.
Well, why is part of the thing, to get that out of the way, is like, I hate when we come on here and if it's a case of we haven't played too many games recently that we could talk about or this or that, but in my case it's tough, you know, and we don't want to get on here and be like, well, I played this but I can't tell you, but more often than
you'll
not,
have to read it in the magazine.
More often than not, that's the case. I mean, part of being, you know, previews editor and whatnot, and because, you know, fewer PC games come out in a month, you know, on the shelves than they do on console and whatnot, but so many great games I've been playing and that I'd love to talk about, but I'm just not in a position to do it here, you know.
Yeah, well, what can you tell people? Can you say anything about what you saw of Quake Horse?
Yeah, except, I mean, I spent a great deal of time playing 3 maps. And
was it fun?
Yeah, it was completely fun. I think it was a really good experience, too, because instead of the usual dog and pony show, hey, here's this, and did you know you could do this and that and the other thing, it was all about sitting down, playing it. I mean, really getting to know the developers, Paul Wedgwood, lead designer, and just hashing it out over what we think make great online multiplayer games, you know, competitive multiplayer games, our histories playing these games, and then play the game and then just sit and talk with them. Here's what I'm thinking about this. This kind of concerns me. This is fantastic. You know, I mean, sometimes it's as simple as just saying, hey, good going on that. That's brilliant. You know, and other times looking at all the different possibilities, because there's so many dials in terms of like balancing and introducing new.
Were you able to say like, you know, boy, that really didn't work for me?
Yeah, I did. I said that. I outlined 3 points and it was cool because I'm hoping to, you know, I mean, I don't want to be so conceited that, again, subjective. I mean, if there's one thing that I'm not too excited about, it could be that someone else, that it tickles them, their fancy perfectly, you know. Mm-hmm. But I do think, I mean, I do think it's cool to be in a position where at least there's some chance that, you feel like you're being heard instead. You're not. I'm not there to rewrite a press release. You know.
I feel bad sometimes when I'm doing that because I feel like, what do I know? Like, right. Who am I to be telling them?
Yeah. In this case, though, it feels good. I mean, I feel more empowered. I mean, partly because I've been doing this. Like, I mean, I haven't been doing it as long as you, but I feel more empowered than I did when I first started doing this. And because that category of game, you know, Army versus Army shooter, along the lines of, you know, Battlefield. Or whatnot, because I play that kind of game so extensively, and I do see myself as the core audience for that.
Yeah,
very well versed in it, and also not just myself, but in the community of players for that sort of game. I know what things are going to be issues, and I mean it's great. Mm-hmm. And I felt to the point where, you know, one of my friends in the multiplayer, you know, community was watching one of the promo clips, and he saw that the field operative was placing his artillery. And he had to place, apparently he had to place it in a very specific spot. And he was bummed out. He's like, I want to be able to place this stuff anywhere. What kind of, like, it might as well just be there if you have to put it in a low box. And I was like, wait a minute. Look at that map right there. And you can see that it was the GDF, the Global Defense Forces main base. And they also have this giant mobile command center that has to leave the gate. And I said, if they let you put it anywhere in there, you could block the gate, which is exactly what, you know, him and I would do on, you know, when we were trying to grieve or something. And so it was cool. That, I mean, that was my hypothesis. And I just, you know, casually mentioned that to them. They're like, oh my God, that's exactly why you can only do it there. But as soon as you're outside the gate, you put it anywhere
okay.
you want.
Yeah.
So it is completely, you know, free to do what you want with it. But it,
right.
in that case,
they put limits on it. Right.
Right.
Yeah, cool. But so, I mean, that was just an example of, I mean, how quickly, I mean, how tuned into that sort of game you are where you can...
I guess, too, with a multiplayer game, I mean, it makes more sense for them to solicit feedback from people like you and other,
right.
you know...
Yeah, and they're totally, I mean, they have people, they have some of the, you know, some of the best and most hardcore players of that category game giving them feedback and talking to them. In this case, this is the first time, you know, I constantly ask developers of this type of game if... Not only are they hiring, you know, Q&A that is not only trying to break the game or trying to exploit it, but people that are trying to play antisocially, because so many people just don't test for that. The assumption is if there's an exploit, people will do it when it gives them gain. But we don't have mm-hmm. to worry about people doing it just to be assholes or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But that's not the case, you know. So, I mean, they've actually got people testing it just for that, too. I mean, they go in and instead of trying to find mm-hmm. ways to get out of the game, the way is to break it. Mm-hmm. Not in and of mm-hmm. itself, but to break it for other people playing.
Right, sure.
And so that's reassuring that they've got that on there. And again, I mean, the another part of the story is that it's been delayed. So that goes now with, what you might mention later, Crysis has now mm-hmm. been delayed.
Yep. Yep.
Team Fortress 2 has been delayed.
Yep.
All of them now are basically more or less in the same window as Unreal Tournament 2007, sometime around June or summer. Mm-hmm. So for Quake Wars, what they said is, you should definitely be playing it prior to the next QuakeCon.
Damn, so do we not have any decent multiplayer shooters coming out between now and
June? That's driving me nuts.
June?
I mean, that's why I've been playing Gears of War on 360, you know, and then for, you know, been playing Company Heroes and stuff a lot on PC for multiplayer. But, yeah, I definitely wanted at least one of these games sooner rather than later. Maybe there's something that might fill it. I mean, Valve's just announced Left 4 Dead, which is cool. It's kind of a cooperative based I mean it's multiplayer, it's competitive, but you mm-hmm. you work with two people or whatever in order to fight, or two or four people in order to fight a number of infected. Here's mm-hmm. another case. I don't even know how much I should talk about this because
right,
I don't even know if it's
just
house.
Say everything though.
But anyway,
yeah, we'll get in trouble
that
later
out sooner than
how
later.
How about Rainbow Six Vegas, except you're not that hot on that, are you?
Well, the console version I've only played a little bit, and you know, contrary to the campaign in that game, which I think is supposed to be, you know, much different. I haven't tried that. Mm-hmm. A tactical shooter like that is really slow going.
Yeah, it's not
and
the
it's
same
so as... much based on just the twitch ability to, you know, basically quickly and accurately put your crosshairs on someone's head and get the mm-hmm. first, you know, burst of shots off. And so whenever I play a game like that, I want it to be, you know, I'd rather just have the input be a mouse. But then in addition, I mean, when you come off of Gears of War or something, it's the multiplayer is hideous looking to me. I mean, some people will say it's gorgeous, but the character models look like the old 1970s G.I. Joe dolls, mm-hmm. you know, just all kind of wonked out in their
proportions. They're hyper-exaggerated mm-hmm. and gross.
Yeah, the environments are just bland. They look like Xbox One. Good-looking Xbox
One. Well, it's kind of like the Gear. I was playing Gears of War last night, and those guys, what's with all the body types in that game? Their arms are like freaking tree trunks.
Yeah. Passive steroid game.
There's just some weird, I don't know.
Shit, yeah. You got to have the voice to go with the giant boot.
Yeah, I can't play that game when my wife is awake. It's like, why are you playing this? It's embarrassing.
They walk around and nothing's happening, and they'll just go, shit.
Yeah.
or if they're watching you play multiplayer and you spend all this time telling her, hey, we've got these great games where you're a railroad magnate and where you're doing all this stuff, and she comes in and, like, there goes a guy getting cut in half, the blood is spraying, arterial sprays on the screen. Uh-huh.
And it doesn't help when I'm going, yeah! Into the monitor.
And you can hear off the speakers,
die! Oh, hi, honey.
So,
yeah, especially in Berkeley, it's not really, it's not that appropriate. Yeah, I was wearing some T-shirt in Berkeley, some gaming swag T-shirt the other day because it was like green long sleeve, so it was warm because it's cold out, and like the color of the shirt was, you know, I was like color coordinating with the flannel shirt I had over it, but I took the flannel shirt off. So I was walking around with the shirt on in downtown Berkeley, and then on the back I realized it was like, it said like Panzer or something. It was like some German World War II shirt. I'm walking around in downtown Berkeley, you know. I might as well have said like, you know, Hitler rules or something. It's like, oh my God, I got to go home and change.
It had an Axis tank on it and was like,
yeah, and it said like, you know, Achtung or something. I forget. I'll have to remember what it was. But it was some blatant like Nazi shirt. Right.
Well, I'm sure
it's a free shirt, and that's all you're thinking. It's like, hey, right. This piece of
I didn't even realize what it said on the back, but then he was like, what are you wearing?
You got to look at it. If you're ever going to, it's rare that you get a shirt from a, you know, a game shirt that you want to put on your back, but like, take a look at the front and the back to make sure it's not, it doesn't say advertise
right.
This
Hitler
or that
was
or,
right, you know.
Mm-hmm. In that case, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I've got to stop wearing that. As you'll notice, I stopped wearing the question mark hat just because I've been getting in too many like conversations I didn't really want to.
Really?
Oh, that's awkward. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like because the people who recognize it as a World of Warcraft hat are just like, hey. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't really want to talk to you.
Yeah. You know, I wore my World of Warcraft hat, which was the exclamation point on that 10K run I did in San Francisco, and not one person said anything.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking probably
that's
because
the company you were keeping. They were running.
Exactly. The crossover of the running
Warcraft
audience.
Don't bingle.
Right.
Well, the weirdest situation that involving a Warcraft piece of apparel was my boyfriend and I were at the airport going through security.
Yeah.
And we're going through, and he gets pulled aside. Like, the guy's like, can you just make him step aside? And we're like, oh, crap, what's going on? And then, like, he's like, what server do you play on?
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like,
wow.
Well, they pulled you aside to ask you that.
You pulled us out of security line for the Warcraft question. And we're like going, oh, shit, did they find the...
Got my shoes back.
Wow.
Got my belt and shoes back.
Have you guys seen the World of Warcraft TV commercial, by the way?
The Office Space one?
Yeah.
I have.
So did they... this is going to be a stupid question. Did they just, like, muck with Office Space?
Or? Yeah.
Okay.
So. He's like playing Tetris in the movie in that scene.
Okay, I couldn't remember that exact scene. They didn't like refilm it with those two actors.
No. They like photoshopped a wild box onto his desk.
Okay.
Yeah, on top of the monitor.
Okay. It was funny.
It's high
tech. It made me laugh.
They can do that, you know, with the
yeah,
the
I know. I knew it was a stupid question. It was too much to hope for to think that those guys... Yeah, sure, we'll refilm the entire scene from the movie because we love WoW so much.
I actually got close to role-playing in... Gears of War. The last week before I left,
like
we just
elf?
Decided that no, we that we were on the Locust team, so that we were going to just pretend that we were Locust and flesh them out more than the benign race of barrel carriers that they're depicted as in the last cutscene of the game. And so we were just talking about how, you know, we were all angry that we had to bring our. I shouldn't say retarded, but we had to bring our challenged little brothers along who tend to blow up when they get shot, but like mom made us. I mean, like if you played campaign, you know, there's like the little like fiendish things that drop out and explode.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I guess I should have done it in the voice we were doing and it would have been funnier. Mom made us bring them along.
Locust role playing. You must be desperate.
Yeah. It was fun.
So have we all been playing any PC games? Now that we have successfully avoided the what you're playing so far in this podcast.
I'm just in that kind of similar situation to Sean where like, yeah, but... I'll
you can't talk about him yet?
Yeah, you've been playing... You know, you can say
can you say what you've been
Supreme
playing?
Commander.
You've been playing Supreme Commander, but you like, can't talk about it yet.
Can't blow the whole reason I'm playing it. Right. I will say it is prompting a unique situation that I didn't expect. And I wonder if other people will have the same reaction. That is all I will say.
Great, Sean.
Isn't that a good teaser? Yeah. See, this is why it's like,
it's like, why do you even say
damned
that?
Damned if you do, damned if you don't. I'm really playing PC games, guys. But I just...
I can't talk about
it. I can't talk about these PC games.
And then you just...
And then I was playing a little bit of LoL Beta.
Burning Crusade.
Yeah. True. Which is standard, and I won't... Let's skip right past that.
Yeah. Ryan? EVE Online.
EVE Online. Yeah.
Like Sean, standard. We'll skip right past that. Yeah.
True. Wow. Let's get it.
Getting into some of the Game of the Year.
We do. Like, this is important. That's going to bring us up with you folks, with you boys. Yeah. Because we got a few years left in 2006, and we're going to hand out some awards.
Yeah, a few years left.
Is that what I said?
Yes.
A few years left.
It
doesn't
even make sense.
Yeah. Might as well just be stoned.
Well, guys, games, years, awards.
So we got a few weeks left in the year, and we're going to pass out some awards. And we, I don't know, what do we think are the big candidates so far? And the games that you think you need to play more to... Because you think it might be worthy of your time to get an award.
I think Jaws Unleashed is a strong contender.
Good start.
Okay.
Company Heroes is definitely on all
of Company Heroes.
That's one of those that I need to play more.
Do you think that's probably the top contender right now?
Ryan's going to argue Nightfall is rad.
Nightfall's not Game of the Year.
But it's like, in Company Heroes in multiple categories. It's like online multiplayer, strategy, the straight,
There's actually a lot of strategy games.
It's
a strategy year.
Right. Yeah.
Oblivion, you can't not take that into consideration.
No way.
And as time passes and people look back on it and question how much, question the repetitive nature of so much of the game, that there were basically a couple different dungeons. Mm-hmm. There was iterations of the world on the other side of the portals,
It's still got to way up there.
But I was enamored of it for so long. When you were playing it, when you, got home and started playing that, I just completely glued into that thing.
Yeah, it sucked me in more. That was definitely one of all the games, including console this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
What else?
So
how about shooters?
Not a lot
this year.
No.
The best one I went through.
You got
was
episode one.
There's
you got
episode Prey. One
and
Prey.
I think, it's the one I played most was Prey, which certainly isn't going on my game of the list.
Game of the year.
Game of the year.
Game
list.
Of the month.
Game
of
the
list.
Like the only one.
Game of the last few years of the year. Yeah. Was.
Huh? That was the only real full length shooter of note this year. Mm-hmm. At least that's the one I saw when I was making my list.
Wow.
I didn't really see any other.
So we didn't pass out awards last year at all.
If you would have asked us at the beginning of the year what the contenders were going to be, we were thinking that this would be the year of, the games that I mentioned earlier that were delayed, Huxley in addition to those.
Crysis.
I mean, some of those, Crysis, Quake Wars, Team Fortress 2.
Right.
I mean, so many.
So they're all delayed.
Right.
So, but, don't you think better delayed and good?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I do.
Totally, yeah. I mean,
non-delayed and sucky. Delayed and sucky would be the worst of everything.
Look at all the games that we thought would end up on the list that kind of were crap or weren't ready.
Mm-hmm.
Neverwinter Nights 2 was...
Needed more work.
Gothic 3, needed more work.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of a mantra this year.
Battlefield, Dark Messiah.
Yeah. Dark Messiah.
Right, that would have been one that we'd have assumed would have been high on the list.
Dark Messiah was on our cover. We're going to have to go through, in a few months and go back on all our cover stories and see how many of those we would now go, wah, wah. But that's not our fault.
Or is it?
Or is it? Maybe it's a GFW cover curse.
Madden curse.
Shit.
What have we cursed recently?
What have we cursed
so
recently?
So what are the closest fights, really? I'm stepping back
into
this. You guys have been having this Game of the Year discussion while I was away. What are the closest? I assume that, as always, Ryan, we're going to be fighting him in Guild Wars.
Yeah, every year he's like the Guild Wars monolith.
Well, it's another one of the, there's no MMOs of note, really, that came out either.
No, there's no zero MMOs. That's
well, here's
of, like,
what I
want to
know for MMO of the
What's
year.
What's it called for some kind of special award?
Yeah.
I still think Ottawa Assault was a rad game. It just sucked that no one played it. I mean, that was
it was unique.
For the 2 weeks that I played it before I gave up because there was no one else playing it, It was a lot of fun.
Man, that's Game Still Alive, isn't it? That must be the loneliest game ever.
Yeah.
Be like driving on I-5 at like 3 in the morning, you know, around like north of Bakersfield.
Doing donuts in the parking lot at 4 a.m. with the milk truck.
This multiplayer game sure is fun. Hello. Anyone? Hello? Hello?
I'll let you in the back. We can have some Twinkies.
Well, here's my question about MMO of the Year. Because does MMO of the Year, does it have to just be a game that came out in 2006? Because if these MMOs are, like, living forever, couldn't, like, the best MMO of the Year be, like, the game, like, in that year it did, like, the coolest stuff, even if the game has been around for forever?
Could be.
You know?
Because MMOs are not necessarily notorious, but they do commonly completely change, like, you know, Star Wars Galaxies have gone through 3 completely different iterations.
All of them sucky.
Right. I'm not saying, you know, put Star Wars Galaxies on our list, but... Mm-hmm.
We're back. Now we suck more.
I mean, yeah, I was playing WoW more than any other game last year, easily.
Right.
And it's an interesting question.
Well, if we're doing that, you'll have to fight me on EVE Online.
Yeah. When did that go live?
2003.
2003?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I had no idea. The game's been around for 3 years?
Yep.
Huh. Wow, so some people are really leveled up from that.
Recidivism.
If you just left it running for 3 years.
Bring it back, son.
Huh?
Is it recidivism, bringing it back?
Was it ever gone, though?
All right, should we answer some reader mail?
No. Okay.
No?
Yeah.
Do we care what they have to say? Or wait, was there any news first?
Well, let's hit the reader mail first.
So okay.
We're mixing this up. I thought we were going to do extra...
We need to apologize to the readers for this week, don't you think?
For this podcast?
We're sorry.
Well, you got to play
that
way.
It's just not in particular order that we had intended.
It's a little scattered. We're a little tired here.
It's all over the place. Uh-huh.
It's like apologizing to the dude you sold the banquet TV dinner to because you made him eat the peas before the whatever the rotten carrots on the other compartment.
But really, don't.
We're actually mixing the peas and carrots.
Don't you love games for Windows, though?
I do.
What the hell?
What's going on?
I'm going to do that every week. I'm going to throw that in. Just a sort of, you know, blatant product placement for Microsoft.
Feed the accusations.
We all love it.
Okay. Ahem. I'm sorry, Ryan. Go ahead.
Reader questions.
You want me to ask that one that we were talking about?
Yes.
John? Yeah, go ahead. Ask that one.
All right. Icarus asks... Hey, GFW, I'd like to hear some spinoff ideas from you guys.
God, why do you got to make him sound like a
Legacy
idiot?
Of Kain went
maybe
from
he's a smart
Zelda-like
guy.
Game to a third-person action-adventure. Halo spun off Halo Wars. Warcraft spun off into an MMO. Might and Magic became turn-based strategy. Heroes of Might and Magic. And so on and so on. Do you guys have any great ideas for games or game series that could work well with genre switch?
Okay, so he wants to know other genre other ideas we have.
That we have. Well, I'm pretty famous for this because I've done quite a few, actually, in real life. I made Super Bombad Racing, Star Wars Bombad Racing.
That was you?
Which is basically, I took all of our heroes from the Star Wars universe and put them on go-karts and put them around a slick track.
You do that with the Crash Bandicoot,
too?
I've
got this great idea where we're going to take out life and make a miniature golf course out of it. And in the ninth hole, it takes you right into Zen.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, it sucks because some of his examples actually have been great. They've turned out quite well. Who's going to argue with World of Warcraft, you know?
Right.
And some other things. Halo Wars looks great. Mm-hmm. We'll see. We've seen are... Sorry. I think what looks great about it is that the idea. We're confident that, hey, how difficult is that to pull off?
Well, I think it's...
Ensemble knows right. RTS.
Halo.
Take the figures that...
Right. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, don't you think, that every single game company, they have a successful game, and then they just think, okay, well, what else could we do with
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the whole thing with action figures. You start off with Spider-Man and you're cool with that. And then like you got Spider-Man in like the black costume and you're cool with that. But then like eventually you get Spider-Man with like the gold like mecha boots and the whatever he's shooting, like the platinum webs or something, you know. You know what it is?
Samurai Spider-Man.
Before your day, but yeah, I mean it was for us like I don't know. When I was a kid playing with toys, there's like Star Wars and whatever, and it never got too... It only got crazy in that you got these like asinine characters that didn't mean anything in the movie. Like you got Lobot or something, and only you and you alone know who the hell he was. I remember that he was the guy with the banana clip backwards around his ears. And but then later on, for subsequent generations, you know, like the He-Mans and stuff, they had to just keep taking what they had and throwing more flair onto it. Like a freaking TGI Fridays employee until you got like those ridiculous, you're like, what? He's not even Batman at that point. Like,
right, exactly.
Freaking Godzilla fighter or something, you know? But anyway, that's
like the Ninja Turtles all the time. There's only four of them. It's like, well, now what else can we do with Ninja Turtles? Uh-huh. Now they're in space.
Weren't you just going off about how there's some new Ninja Turtles thing coming out there, Ryan?
There's a new Ninja Turtles game coming.
Yeah, yeah. Ryan just goes out of the blue and goes, man, it's been a long time since there's been a good Ninja Turtles game. ever?
I know, but... Well, I remember the arcade. We used to ride our bicycles with the paper delivery racks on them to 7-Eleven. Mom would give me 75 cents, and I would get to level 14.
You're damn
drinking
right.
A Slurpee.
This is like 2 years ago for Ryan.
That's what we need the Retronauts podcast. And so this is nothing.
Fuck those
non-sequiturs.
Guys. Fuck Retronauts.
No, I had so many. Like, I spent so much time in arcades.
Yeah, me too.
I need to get on there and bring back the glory days of the arcade, just messing with people. And I'm going to tell you one story.
Did you ever go to Silver Ball Arcade in Berkeley?
No, because I was growing up between Seattle and San Diego, not in Berkeley. But like one of the best things, 7-Eleven, you go in, you know, you go put your quarter up, you're watching this kid play, and I was probably like 14, this kid's like 7, and he's eating an incense stick. You know, just like a big fat incense stick. And we're looking at him, we're like, what are you doing? What are you eating that for, man? And he's like all just casually like, it's beef jerky. So, what the hell? He points us over, and you know how beef jerky comes in those tall cylinders?
Yeah.
Well, they had the beef jerky tub, but they filled it with incense, it was like incense, 3 for $1. So he thought he got three beef jerky sticks for $1.
He's eating them?
Does like, doesn't that incense taste like jasmine or ebony musk? Does that really taste like beef jerky to you?
Wow.
But he had gnawed through half of it, and it was a big fat one, like a cattail type thing. Anyway, that was a rad story.
That says something about gamers.
It's worth including that in the Games for Windows podcast.
Many detours this week.
He was playing a game that you can now play on GameTap, which plays on your PC. That runs Windows.
Mm. You're reminding me of my arcade days. I was thinking of all the weird, like, psychological, sociological things about arcades. Like, the way you could, like, always... Like, I used to not put my quarter up on the machine until it was clear that the guy who was playing sucked. So it was like the psychological, like, yeah, you're going to be at it. Yeah.
Nice.
I got next.
Other things, like, I mean, was because I would always ride, like, you know, each 7-Eleven would have no more than 3 games at the max. So I would ride as far away to the 7-Eleven hoping to find some exotic game, and it would peer up. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, Yar Kung Fu. Like, damn, what is this? You know, like, Karate Champ. And then when Gauntlet came in, all the local Hessians from the high school who were, like, that was in the age when, you know, kids with, like, Motley Crue jackets and stuff, not Motley Crue, but like Aussie jackets and stuff actually scared you, you know? They had like a denim vest with like a patch on the back, but they had kicked a hole in the back of the thing and got to the switch where you could insert credits in it, and they got it like maxed out. So this one fool, this total long hair, played like Gauntlet for like 2 days straight, and he was just living off of like Slurpees and like bags of Fritos. But like I'd ride back the next morning to check on his progress, like, oh my god, man, you're on level 89. So that was good. And then the psychology thing, there's like not only you putting your quarter up, but then when you do get to play each other, there's like where actually is the dividing line in between, and are you gonna bump elbows? And it's like, sure, whoever a bit, bitch. Yeah. You know, you like kind of use a little body language to let them know there's.
You never really talk to the other player. You're just like, all right, here it is.
Oh yeah, no, you never talk.
Complete silence.
Or something. Someone sputters something once in a while. I remember like playing Mortal Kombat 3, and all of a sudden, like, I got all excited because this guy was just like whooping up everyone, you know, and just being all cheap and throwing. And he was playing Sub-Zero, and like, I can't believe I'm admitting this. This is like the cheesiest, like, most incriminating thing ever, but like I deflected his freeze and froze him, and then ran over to him to do an 80% combo on him. But like the second like I reflected the freeze, and I was playing Nightwolf, who's like the most generic token Native American dude,
Tommy Hawk.
Like, I'm gonna get tribal on you, bitch. And then I ran over and like did the 80% combo on him and killed him. It was so bad.
Wow.
We're actually at 3, huh?
I actually over those games, we'd go to this place called Wonderland in San Diego, and it's like you pay $1.75 to get in, and it's 5 cents, 5 to 10 cents to play all the games. And so we'd go there nonstop and just play fighting games. But one time my friend got on this like big, you know, I drove us there and he got on this big winning streak and he was rubbing it in like a total ass because we were ultra competitive, you know. And I got so mad, I just left him there. Like I just like went and got in the car and drove off. And we were like, you know, it was like 20 miles away. We didn't even pick him up.
Wow.
That's a good story.
Man.
I didn't talk to a friend of mine.
Supposed to bring people together.
Well, I didn't talk to a friend of mine for like a week after he beat me up at the end of Double Dragon. You know, after you save your girlfriend and you fight over her. Because it's all co-op. And then suddenly they like mix it up and say, all right, now it's
tore
the tables.
Tore you apart, man.
Tore me apart. And wow. I was upset.
Wow. You didn't talk to him for a week?
Yeah.
Trying to bribe a Bobo to get your back.
I'm at one, my biggest indelible memory of Silverball Arcade in Berkeley was when there was this guy. This was back when there were pinball machines, and it was like the beginning of the video machines. So there was like Missile Command and Space Invaders. There was this guy who at the time looked older than me, so he was probably like, I don't know, late 20s or something, and he was playing pinball. And he was so frustrated with himself while he was playing the game, he was crying, like tears. and he was like yelling at the game. It was like, come on! No, just fuck you! God damn it! Like, and he kept playing, and he was like putting another quarter in. It was like, man, dude, go home!
Like that mad German kid with the keyboard.
It's kind of like that YouTube video. Yeah,
I say I wish YouTube was around during the arcade golden era. There'd have been some good stuff.
Yeah, some sad stuff.
Like the long hair that spent 2 days playing Gauntlet, eating like nothing but Cheetos and Slush Puffy.
And now you could just do that to privacy.
And the clerk bring him some big bites.
It's like porn now. You don't have to be at a porn theater doing that.
Right. It totally is. That's what arcades are like. The porn theater. You do that shit in public.
Right.
Well, people still do the DDR thing.
Like, yeah,
that's what the arcades are now.
That's
like
a
you
whole
go there
other,
and like
yeah.
It's completely different.
Yeah,
like, and that's on YouTube.
Yeah,
I'm actually envious of that stuff. I got to say, because I can't do DDR. It's too ridiculous of me. But I think that's a cool thing that kids can do today is to go to arcades and do that stuff where like actually playing it in front of other people is like part of the thing.
Yeah. Right. Know? And it's hot. So it's good for your thing. Good for your social standing too. Like doing a river dance up in a b-boy stance.
People want to be you.
Okay, we got to take a break all right. here.
All right. Oh, yeah, we didn't have a break.
Oh, we didn't have a break.
Oh, God.
If we take a break now, then we're going to come back and say, okay, and goodbye. You know,
we're going to come back. We're going to keep talking about how we've ended friendships over video games.
Okay, so we'll be right back.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. But as long as you're here, let me tell you about EGM Live, the weekly podcast from the editors of Electronic Gaming Monthly, along with the wonderful sounds of... EGM Live comes action-packed with special guests, late-breaking news, fanboy-baiting commentary, behind-the-scenes tales of office tomfoolery, and trivia contests with fantabulous prizes. Download it now at egmlive.oneup.com or subscribe to it through iTunes.
EGM Live is part of the 1UP Radio Network, taped in the Ziff Davis offices in San Francisco. It is not actually live, and contest prizes are not guaranteed to be fantabulous.
Hi, this is Kathleen from the 1UP Show. This week, we're talking about the personal side of Rainbow Six Vegas. Skip takes a guitar lesson Guitar Hero style. Brian's Porto Intihar breaks down and admits enjoying Elite Beat Agents. And Luke Smith says that Viva Pinata could be his game of the year. Download it now, 1UPShow.1UP.com.
And we're back, and we'll see you next week. I'm only sort of kidding. Yeah. I got to go. You guys can keep talking.
You do have to get out of here.
I do have to go.
Okay, yeah. Well, then we'll wrap it up. Let's tell them who that hot quote from the beginning.
Well, good. I'm glad you're
here. Oh, right. Wait, Ryan, did you want to read another one? You're looking sort of expectant, like you're, hi, look at me. Hi, I got something to say.
Huh?
Did you want to read something?
Yeah.
What? Go ahead. Ryan has another
one. Well, I have one more good one.
Read it.
Dozer King asks, I hear John Carmack is more happy developing for 360 than the PC. When did everything go wrong? I'm hoping it's just a blogging rumor, which seems to get in the way of what's really going on. Your thoughts?
In other news, I heard that the PS3 is 50 times more powerful than the 360. So, yeah. No, in other words, the dude's been... we're confirming his fear that he's been reading the wrong blog. So,
yeah.
What has been established is that id and Activision don't like all the pirating that happens on their PC games.
Which is fair enough.
Right. And so they're definitely interested, and also in the sales that, that are offered on console. Never said it doesn't like PC as a platform or anything. And furthermore, one of those, not saying this to blurb about in our upcoming issue, but we just recently interviewed Mr. Carmack at length, and he revealed to us, among other things, that the lead platform for his next game, his big top secret, you know, project, is PC again. So,
Moot.
So there we have it.
There we have
we're
it.
We're to rejoice. But he
fear
was also,
not.
I mean, Carmack's also very much into cell phone stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that he hates PC, but the difference there is dramatic. It's not like the difference between PC and 360. The difference is him and two other people, like he used to do in the old days, can get together, make a game,
right,
in a very quick turnaround, be completely, you know,
autonomous
and attached to it the whole time too. You know, I mean, just there's not levels of, you know, art teams and PR and all this stuff. It's just like, hey, let's make this game, let's do it,
mm-hmm,
and put it up. And so that, I mean, that's totally understandable, but it's not the difference between I've only liked the power of the PlayStation 3,
mm-hmm,
or whatever the case may be.
I'm looking forward to the day when we can finally just all admit that the cell phone is not a gaming platform. You know, can we just stop freaking talking about that?
I admitted it a while ago.
Yeah, and I'm hating that we every once in a while somebody is Ziff Davis. So, like, what are your plans for cell phone coverage in the next 6 months? Once again, there's zero. Okay, yeah, Games for Windows Magazine. Okay, try looking at what our magazine
is. Yeah. Live Anywhere is going to be on cell phones.
Yeah,
can check the points.
Oh yeah,
we'll have to see though if Live Anywhere integrates to such an extent that,
yeah,
you know, you are doing
it's
something.
A mystery at this point.
The example that Bill Gates gave at E3 was kind of cool though. With that was the first time I ever thought, okay, that's somebody using a cell phone in a cool way for a game.
Yeah, and if you man babies could feed and water your pinatas from Viva Pinata on your phone, you'd be doing it.
Don't
right.
even think about such.
You're
a
so right.
I would do it.
Okay,
so maybe we should cover cell phone games. I take all that back.
So, guys, what are your plans
for
cell phone
industry?
Cell phone game is one of the growing, one of the growing platforms. It's a growth market.
A growth market.
We can end on that.
Okay, we'll end on the growth market.
What about the quote?
The quote.
Yeah. Who was that?
Who said that?
The answer to the sad,
so
lamentable quote. It's Bob Ross.
He didn't say it. Huh? Yeah, Bob Ross came back from the dead to apologize for not making a video game. Way to go, champ.
You're right.
Dude.
He didn't come back from the grave to say that. It was his game.
That were making money
the people
off
that
his
were
name.
Making his game. Bob Ross's The Joy of Painting. The people making that game came out.
I think
and
Bob.
And apologized.
Bob,
for
not to put words in his
very
mouth,
sincerely.
Would probably be like, the whole point of what I'm doing is that painting is to teach you that painting is simple.
Right.
And that you could do it. So you can get a brush and paint something and feel.
Right.
So the fact that they had to cancel this game.
It's not going to happen.
Means they were missing the point.
Right.
This game was too hard for us to make. There was no joy in our Joy of Painting.
To pretend
game.
You're painting on, yeah. on a game?
It was probably more complicated than actual painting, is what Bob would say.
You're right. He'd say, put the stupid game away and read my book and paint.
Mm hmm.
Yeah.
Just paint, man. Everyone.
That's, so rest in peace to the Joy of Painting. And
the company that was
going to
do it
too.
Was called Agfrag also.
Really?
Agfrag.
Right. Look at Agfrag.
Agfrag.
Mm-hmm. They've ceased mm-hmm. production.
So anyway,
the funny thing is that they were just this assumption that they've broken countless hearts over this, you know, announcement.
Well, maybe they did.
They might have.
Write us if your heart was broken, if we just broke it right now, let us know.
There's probably a whole bunch of people on the other side of the
podcast.
Has anyone here heard of this game?
The Joy of Painting?
Yeah, of course not.
I think people that blogonauts that do the, and I use that as an insult. I think blogonauts that do all the rounds would notice it because, I mean, there was a week, I know, it was slow news week when it was like, hey, guess what?
Bob Ross game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like the spam we got the other day for that. What the hell is that? That university dorm? You know, they wanted coverage in the magazine
for their dorm.
For like, that?
Yeah, we broke ground in our dorm. Would you like to cover it?
Yeah.
No.
We need better spam filters.
Yeah.
But
what did our art director say? What was his response?
Oh, he's like, we're going to get a photographer right on that.
We dispensed our photographer immediately. Get pictures of this lovely new dorm. We're a bunch of jerks.
We need to be more jaded. Next time, I'm going to have to, I'm going to go pitch the Retronauts. I used to make fun of them, but I want to be a Retronaut now.
Oh, I knew it.
I got so many more arcade stories. I know this one guy, Paul Burns, used to write for some of the Ziff magazines. He someone actually set him on fire. Someone set his ass on fire over a Tekken game.
Really?
That's a good story, too.
It's Tekken. Mm-hmm. It's warranted.
I mean, when we're talking, we're not talking like, you know, lit rags and Molotovs and stuff. I mean,
well, that's what it sounded like.
But they got out their Zippo and made a point of, you know, setting a sweater on fire.
So he's still alive.
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, it's like, boy, funny story, Sean.
Paul Backdraft Burns had this to say. No, we don't call him Backdraft.
He's still in the hospital, and boy, was that a hoot.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to
we out.
We out. We'll see you next week.
Keep painting.